Hi, you're listening to the Pitch Vision My Cricket Coach Show, and you can find us at pitchvision.com. My name's David Hinchliffe, and we've got another live show for you this week. This week we're coming from Ealing Cricket Club, where it's a beautiful day, and we're watching the Ealing Seconds take on... who are they taking on?
Finchley.
Taking on Finchley. It's 57 for 3 after 24 overs, so looks like Ealing are on top here. And that voice you heard was one of our case study subjects, Naz. And I've come to visit him so we can have a chat and have a beer, which I'm enjoying in the sunshine. How are you doing, Naz? All right?
Yeah, good. Thanks, David. And hi, everyone. It is a nice day. I've had a beer, but I'm now on the Cokes, so I've got to drive up. I've got to drive up to Maidenhead, so best be sensible and keep it to one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, don't. This is the cheat meal for the week, I suppose.
indeed. One of many this week, unfortunately, but we'll get to that later.
Okay, so we've just done about a 45-minute session on the bowling machine in the nets over on the other side of the field. How did you find that?
I found it very useful, actually. We worked on in a couple of ways which I haven't really worked before. Normally, when I go in the bowling machine, I just practice shots, and it's pretty vague, you know, pitch it up and practice drives, or pitch it shorter and practice the back foot, and really as simple as that. But what we did today was use cones to sort of control where I'm hitting the ball, and we had a system whereby if I hit it within two cones, which is sort of roughly where the V would be, I'd get two runs. If I left the ball, I'd get two runs, but not if it bowled me, obviously. And if I hit it outside the V, I'd be out, which was tricky at first because the machine was the ball was swinging around a bit, but after a while I got used to it, and I really felt a lot more in control of things, you know, compared to normal when I'm on the bowling machine. I'm just trying to hit the ball as hard as I possibly can and make sure everything's roughly in the right place. So I enjoyed it.
What I like about that particular game is it makes you think in the V rather than thinking across the whole range of different shots that you could be playing at any particular time. It isolates one area of the V and concentrates you particularly on that scoring area, because that is the area where you're going to score your most runs if you're a proper batsman. So you want to be working on scoring in that V as much as possible. And you can play that game. In fact, we did play that game. We played it for both defensive shots and for drives on the front foot and on the back foot.
Yeah, that's right. And it was good. Sort of having the game element as well was useful, because it got you thinking about how well you're actually doing it, rather than
another wicket's fallen.
Sorry, not sure what happened. They nearly ran into each other. So it kind of sort of helps you realise how well you're doing it, and you can measure your progress a lot better by doing it that way, rather than just, you know, try and hit as many as you can between the cones.
So, speaking of progress, we know that you play for Ealing, of course, and you've been having your pre-season. How's that been going, both on and off the pitch?
Well, there's been a bit of a clash with work. It's been quite difficult off the pitch, I would say. The winter went really, really well. I was in the gym, you know, three times a week on average, consistently for 4 or 5 months out of the 6 months which we were off, which is a lot better than I usually go. So that was good, and I really enjoyed the program which you created for me. Nutrition during that time was pretty good too. As I said, the last couple of weeks have been challenging with work being as hectic as it is. You know, sometimes I'm in there till, you know, past midnight, which doesn't make for healthy eating.
No.
And it doesn't make it easier to get to the gym the next day. But definitely, I've really felt, the benefits of that winter program. The pre-season games have been good. We've had nothing rained off, which is a rarity, I think, in England.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's gone largely well. I set myself a target of batting 240 minutes or an average of 40 minutes a game.
Yeah.
And really, I've had limited opportunities to bat for one reason or another. I had a knock last week where I batted for about 90 minutes for 15. So, I mean, what I realised was that, you know, that goal was good in that it allowed me to get used to sort of conditions in the middle, which, of course, very different to nets. But, you know, this time next year, I'll be making sure that I'm still playing with intent and playing my shots. So, bowling's gone well as well. Had a nice long bowl in the week, bowled 12 overs and you know, got a one for, but it could have been a four for. So that's gone well, and fielding has gone pretty well too. So getting into our first league game next week, feeling pretty confident. Just can't really wait to get into it, to be honest, and especially with the bat, and we're, you know, looking forward to having more opportunities.
I think you're an interesting case, and different from Geraint in who's the other case study, of course, in that Geraint can dedicate a lot more time to his cricket, and it, really his aim is to try and get into professional cricket if he can. Whereas with you, I feel that it's more of a challenge, more of a realistic challenge, really, mm-hmm. for club cricketers who are listening, mm-hmm. in that you have a very heavy work commitment, and you have quite an extensive life away from cricket,
yeah.
and yet you're still finding ways to improve and do better than you're doing at the moment. So, in many ways, you're setting an example to people who are perhaps want to improve, but they don't really know how to go about it because they think, well, I haven't got time or something like that. So, I find that quite an interesting area that you know, you've got those struggles, but yet you're still finding ways to improve.
Yeah, no, it's not easy for all of us. You know, when I was younger, obviously I could devote a lot more time like Geraint is able to at the moment. And I hope he manages to get that game, to achieve that aim. He certainly seems to be making some good progress.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think, you know, a lot of it is realizing that just because you can't do it all the time, that shouldn't stop you trying to do it the times which you can, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
You know, so for example, these last 2 weeks I haven't been able to go to the gym. It's very easy when that happens, and it's happened to me in the past that, you know, for one reason or other you can't go, and then you slip into this, you sort of slip into the rut of not going and losing your discipline. So I really want to try and get back on it as soon as possible, but not give myself too much of a hard time if I'm not able to do it as soon as I'd like.
So how do you get yourself out of that rut? What techniques do you use? What tactics do you have in your mind to, when you haven't been going to the gym, how do you motivate yourself to get to the gym? Because motivation is one of those things where you've only got it when you've got it, and when you haven't got it, you want it, but you haven't got it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, I think, you know, I was really motivated at the end of last season because I had a bad year, having had a really good year the year before, you know, being in contention to play first team. I had a terrible year last year and ended up playing third team. My usual level is seconds at this club.
Yeah.
So initially I didn't find it hard at all, and you know, I really was able to sort of just, it wasn't difficult for me to find motivation to go to the gym. If I needed to get up at 6 in the morning, I'd do it. Now I've got to the stage where, well, I've put in all that hard work and I've made all that progress. So the technique I'm going to use is really just to realise that I don't want to throw it away, and it's just a case of, you know, getting momentum on my side again by forcing myself to go those first couple of times, no matter how hard it is, and then you sort of settle back into the groove, as it were, I think. What I'm going to try to do anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing is, this time of year as well, getting to the gym isn't the be-all and end-all. You know, if you don't go to the gym, then, you know, as long as you're playing cricket regularly and training regularly, that is more important. If you can get to the gym, that's very much a bonus. I mean, I know from working with Rob Armand, who's the Glamorgan strength and conditioning coach, he has no qualms about letting players go. And these are professional players, yeah. letting players go 2-3 weeks without going into the gym.
Yeah.
Because they may be playing six times a week.
Yeah.
during that time. So, you know, when can you get to the gym if you're playing 6 days a week, you know? So,
yeah.
I mean, he's quite clever in the way he does it. He tries to get people to do things after, you know, bowlers, if they've had a county championship day and the bowlers haven't done anything, then he, you know, he tries to get them to do some interval training or whatever afterwards. So there's a ways and means of doing it.
Yeah.
But he's what he says at the end of it all, it doesn't really matter during the season.
Mm.
As long as you're trying your hardest to sneak something in somewhere, that's all that really matters.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You know, you also need time to recover as well. As, you know, when I was younger, I just kind of go hell for leather with it and, you know, get really down on myself if I didn't, you know, if I let my discipline slip. But, you know, you do need time to recover, you know, physically and mentally also too, I think. So yeah, I mean, I'm not going to beat myself up about it if I don't get to the gym 3 times a week in this season.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, weren't we? How it's you know, you the next day you feel pretty exhausted if you've had a tough game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, why not look after yourself? Recovery is an important part of it. As long as it is recovery and not sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah.
Cuz there's a difference between the two.
Exactly. Exactly. I can agree more.
So we've been talking about a particular part of the case study, the fitness side of it, but how have you, I mean, you've been doing it since January, how have you found the experience overall?
It's good, it's been a new experience, you know. The recording side of things is something I've never really done before, you know, doing a match log and doing a training log before the pre-season actually started. And it's really helpful because you can chart your progress and sort of plan your next steps accordingly, because you look back and things and think, okay, right, I did this this game and you know, I got that result, and you know, one thing which we identified pretty early on in this process, and we're only really into our third match now, is that I was focusing a little bit too much on the negatives, and I started to focus a lot more on the positives, and I think with a game like cricket that really helps, because it's you know, there's some days, like for example yesterday we played and you know, I was batting in 5, and for our partnership for the third wicket was 200, 220.
Oh my.
Yeah. And so when I went into bat, we only had three overs left.
Right.
And I had to have a slog and got out caught on the boundary, but for not many. But, you know, I was still able to take a positive out of it, and that was that, you know, I got to the middle for a start, and, you know, after last week where I didn't show enough intent this week, I had to show intent and, you know, prove to myself that, yeah, I'm very capable of hitting the ball from ball one, which you have to do sometimes. So,
absolutely.
So, yeah, I've definitely learnt a lot from it, because sometimes if you don't write it all down, it's all a disorganised mess in your head. So definitely the case study's been a positive experience, and particularly the sort of recording your progress and side of things. So yeah, I mean, it's been good. You know, the program which you mapped out for me was great as well. It was really cricket specific, and you know, you find yourself doing stuff and you think, you know, I know why I'm doing this. For example, all of this single leg exercises that you're doing, you know, you realise that, well, actually most of what I do in cricket, you know, is on one leg.
Yeah,
it's just
so
basic, but you know, it sometimes needs someone else to point that out to you, and you know, that's the other real benefit of doing the case study is having you to bounce the ideas off.
Yeah.
Whereas at club cricket, I don't know if anyone else finds this, certainly in England, although you have coaches, you do kind of sometimes feel on your own on your own a bit. So it's
been definitely
a beneficial experience, definitely.
Good. Well, I'm glad about that.
Thanks for picking me.
No, it's been an absolute pleasure, especially being able to come down here today. It's I wouldn't have missed this for the world. It's fantastic.
Yeah, just another wicket's fallen, by the way. 72 for 4 of 27.
Yeah, keeping you up to date
here at the ECG
with a live score. Yeah, I was going to ask you about one thing which came up while we were doing the case study, which I didn't realise that it would. Was the stuff outside of cricket and the personal organisation side of things, the you know, getting a system in place and you know, getting everything under control, not just the cricket. Have you found that side of things? Because that was an area really where I didn't expect us to go down.
Yeah.
But we've definitely gone down an interesting road there. So how have you found that part of it?
initially I found it, you know, very therapeutic, and I can see the benefits of it. I think it's one of those things, though, certainly in my life, where things are so busy that you don't always have time for time management, which is kind of ironic. But, you know, the way I plan to do it is, you know, when I get a moment to stop and sort of clear my inbox, as it were, and organise my inbox. I don't want to go into it in too much detail, don't want to diverge.
It's quite complicated, isn't
it? Yeah. It is. It's a really therapeutic process, and you can just allows you to clear your mind. And I think for club players who are, you know, particularly busy like I am, it really helps. It really just, you know, helps your life, and I think helps your cricket as well. Because in my experience, I've played the best when I've got a clear mind and I'm, you know, relatively worry free. I really enjoyed that experience, and I'll definitely be using it going forward. When I have the time for it.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's one of those where, you know, it takes a long time to actually put into place and get into the habits of doing things. But as you say, you know, one of the things that you hear people talking about, top professional players talking about, is, you know, they play their best when they're, you know, when they're not overthinking things. Yeah. And if you're worried about, you know, when that report's going to be in, or, you know, what you've got to do on Monday morning, you're not necessarily going to be thinking clearly on a Saturday afternoon. So I found that an interesting area as well.
Yeah, no, definitely benefited that. And, you know, I think for anyone doing a case study, I'm not sure how it's going to work next year, if there's going to be one or not. But, you know, it's a useful process for, you know, you can go down these avenues you didn't even think that you would. And it's different for everyone. And it's been really... been a really positive experience so far, I've got to say.
Excellent. So you've still got the same ambitions for the season that you had back in January?
Yeah, I'd definitely like to establish myself in the second team again. It's kind of strange, you know. I was at the same time, you know, in January I was a lot more kind of intense about the whole thing and putting a lot more kind of pressure on myself to do that, whereas now I realise, if you know, that would be a natural consequence of me just kind of getting everything in place. So I mean, if it happens, if it doesn't happen, I'm determined to enjoy my season. I would say that has now become my primary goal, whereas before it was, you know, get back into the second team at all costs. Now it's a case of enjoy my cricket and I played second team cricket for five, six years now, so I've played that level. I know I can do it, and if I enjoy my cricket, I'm sure I'll get there as a consequence. But it's not the number one be all and end all goal for my season, if you like.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's good in a way. Another wicket's fallen there. That's good in a way, because you know, if you're playing with a relaxed state of mind, then you're more likely to be successful.
Yeah, well, that's the idea behind it. I think, you know, it's actually some people gee themselves up to play sport. I'm definitely one of those guys that, you know, I benefit by relaxing and being in the moment more. So I think even the guys that gee themselves up, you know, probably have to be in the moment.
But absolutely, I think there's a difference between batsmen and bowlers. I think batsmen have to be calm and bowlers have to be. Have to be riled up almost, you know. You've got two ends, especially fast bowlers. Yeah. You know, the batsmen need to keep themselves as calm as possible, and the fast bowlers need to get themselves riled up as possible.
Yeah, well, I'm no fast bowler.
So, what you're really saying is, I think what you're saying is that if you focus on the process of doing these things, and you know, getting to the gym and doing your practice and doing the things that you can control, the process, then the outcomes will look after themselves.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. And also, you know, if I can't do everything perfectly, not to worry about it, because, you know, I've got to realise I've got other demands on my life and you know, it's about enjoying the process as much as anything. I mean, it should be fun, the whole thing, I think, for me. I mean, I know that if I was Geraint, then, you know, then I need to
I'd need to go further because, you know, obviously when you're a professional, you're expected to do things you don't necessarily want to do, but, you know, that's what a professional does, and that's how things are at work, you know. Admin, for example, no one wants to do admin, but a good professional does it. So so for me, it's different, you know. I want to do as much of the process as I can, but I want to make that process fun and enjoy cricket as much as possible.
Well, good, and that's the way it should be. I think that's the way it should be for anyone who plays cricket, whether you're playing, you know, the lowest level of park cricket to you know, international cricket. If you're not enjoying yourself, then, you know, what's the point, really?
Exactly. Exactly right. But it's so easy not to. It's so easy to be intense about this game, you know. It can be a very frustrating game, and, you know, one day you can be on top of the world and make 100, and, you know, the next time you play, you know, you can make naught. And the trick is, for me, I think you've got to not take yourself too seriously, but, you know, at the same time, and I know it's a tricky balance to get, you can't let things kind of just completely fall by the wayside, because if you don't practice, you're not going to play as well and you're not going to enjoy it. If you don't eat well, you know, you're going to be sluggish and you're not going to enjoy your Saturday either. So it's I don't know how to describe it, but it's just a question of getting balance, I think.
Yeah, it all fits together. I mean, like the session we had today, the session on the bowling machine we had today, a lot of the stuff that we did, you wouldn't necessarily want to recreate in the middle, but what we're doing is we're trying to put you in a certain mindset, so when you are out in the middle, you don't have to think about those things. Those things become automatic. And it's the same with anything, you know. If you're having to think about things, then you're less likely to be doing them. Whereas if they're just habit, if they're just part of the way that you do things, whether that's the way that you eat or the fact that you go to the gym or the way that you play your cover drive, if you do those things automatically, correctly, then everything fits into place without you really having to worry about it too much.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, actually. You know, I know I've got to be careful now, you know, that I'm getting relaxed, that I don't get too relaxed and not worry about those things like eating right, you know, which for me is really easy to do, you know. I found that, you know, during the winter especially, things like gym with things like eating, once you get into a groove, you don't really think about it, and, you know, you don't enjoy life less because you haven't gone to KFC or whatever it might be, or because you know you've had too much rice that day. You just kind of get on with it and do it, and you know, you still have a great time. I need to be careful that I don't take two things too far the other way, and that's probably where I am at the moment. I'm on that borderline where I need to get back on track. Another wicket's just fallen, 81 for 7 of 31. Not looking good for Finchley here.
They're struggling now, aren't they?
No, they are. Yeah,
they're struggling now.
Spin has done the business here, I think.
Yeah, my sport employee Neil Fairbairn has done the damage.
I'd call that more filth than spin, David. And I'm sure he'd agree. Whoever got out to him should not be proud of themselves.
If you're listening, you should be ashamed.
Okay, so let's talk about nutrition now. When we started this process, one of the things that we did was we set up some rules for you to follow nutritionally. Now, you set those up yourself. How well would you say you stuck to them?
I would say, in truth, before I set up the rules, I did better. But that's nothing to do with the value of the rules. That's to do with the, you know, the circumstances of work. It got busy, and
right,
you know, the big thing is planning when it comes to nutrition. That's something I've worked out, and that's something I'd like to get back to. So that's certainly something I was doing before, just before I sort of set up the rules. But the nutrition side of things, I think, has probably been the weakest aspect of my preparation for the season.
Okay.
And that, is that a time thing? The fact that you haven't, or the fact that you just haven't been able to plan things out effectively, or a bit of both?
It's an interesting one, actually. It's probably a bit of both, you know. It's a time thing and a planning thing. You know, my plans were never really that good because I didn't know kind of how to stick to my plans in a way. I mean, I had sort of a few dishes and stuff that I could do, a few snacks, but I kind of found that I was lacking a bit of variety. So in that sense, the planning was poor. And when I get back on it, I certainly want to be able to get over that kind of boredom factor, because food is something I enjoy. It's probably something everybody enjoys, but, you know,
of course, yeah.
I particularly like food, and not kind of, you know, junk food, but, you know, good food, going out to restaurants and that sort of thing. And it's difficult to turn down. It's difficult to sort of change a habit of a lifetime in some way. So for me, the secret of getting it all right is, one, planning, making sure you've got the stuff in the house and doing it beforehand so that you can just do it, which is something, you know, you're quite big on and I completely agree with when it comes to nutrition. And the other thing, I've got to be able to come up with plans which are going to hold my interest, because, you know, because I like food. So I've got to find a way of eating good, healthy food.
Well, maybe what we'll need to do then is sit down at some point and review the rules and see if those were a realistic set of rules in the first place. Because everyone has a set of rules, whether they're written down or not. And the set of rules may just be, look in the cupboard, what's in there, a tin of beans.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to have beans on toast. That may be the nutritional rules for that particular person, i.e., you know, not very much. But everyone's got a set of rules.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't like cheese, you're not going to eat cheese, are you? That's a rule. That's a rule. I don't eat cheese.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter why you don't eat cheese. That's just the rule. So maybe what we should do is find out what your rules are at the moment, what your real rules are.
Yeah.
And then review them and maybe just try and tweak them a little bit in ways that you can do realistically.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. It's probably probably a good way of going about it. Off the top of my head, I really wouldn't know what my rules are. I think I know I like spicy food. I know I like curry. I'm Indian, you know. But you know, I pretty much like as much spice as possible, and I like sweet things as well. Both aren't particularly healthy.
Well, spices are good. Spices are excellent. But maybe we have to find a way of getting sweet things into your diet without necessarily overloading you with too much processed food and too much sugar.
Definitely.
What you might want to do is, you probably haven't, I don't know if you've done this yet, but last week's podcast was an interview with Lee Peel, a lady who's got some very interesting ideas about nutrition.
So I'll definitely be sure to listen to that one.
I know you do listen to the podcast, so it's definitely worth listening to that one, because she's got some very good ideas. We talked about fat loss, really, and I don't think probably that's your main aim, is it, fat loss? I think it's just to be a bit healthier and to look after yourself.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, sometimes you think, okay, well, you know, I mean, I'm a sort of quite slim, and you think, oh, nutrition's not really a problem for me.
Yeah,
I can eat as much sweet as I like, because I do so much sport, I cancel it out, and therefore I'm fine. And that's a trap probably a lot of cricketers fall into, I think.
Well, especially with the tradition, you know, with the tradition around cricket. I mean, cricket is a game based around food, you know, cricket teas, cakes, and, you know, sandwiches, and then, you know, you have...
Samosas are the big thing at Ealing at the moment.
Well, there you go, exactly, you know. And there's nothing wrong with those foods. It's just you've got to find a balance.
Yeah.
That's the key, really.
Yeah, I think so. And that's probably what I'm not doing as much as I was. I was... another wicket's fallen. I was doing quite well at one stage, you know, just eating a lot of salads with meat. And I was in the gym and stuff, and, you know, making sure I was getting my protein and a lot of vegetables. So I know it's something I can do, you know, and I...
Yeah.
And that's one, you know, that's one good thing about the nutrition side of things from the case studies. I realise it's something I can do, but it does take effort, you know. And I suppose one of the problems with nutrition is that you don't really want it to be effort. You just, you know, want to open your cupboard, and if you've got a tin of beans in there, it's easy. You're hungry, and that's it. And you just think in the moment. Whereas, if you're planning in advance and make sure you open your cupboard and you've got something healthy and something that you're going to want to eat as well,
absolutely,
which is really important, you have to want to eat it, then, it all just slides into place and it's easy.
I think what we're saying really is that it's all about that everything, not just nutrition, but everything is about being in the right habit. And when you're in the habit of whatever it is, then you don't have to think about it. As long as you're in that correct, as long as you're in that habit, then it's, you know, you don't feel bad if you have a plate of chips on a Saturday night, because you know that overall nutritionally you're fine. And you know, if you work a lot on your cover drive, like we were doing today, we were working on getting the alignment of the back correct on the different back foot and front foot drives we were doing today. If you're doing that naturally, then when you're out in the middle, you don't think red cone, yellow cone, blue cone. You just think, this is a back foot drive, and you hit it back past mid off, and you think, great, that's four more runs to me. So
yeah,
yeah, I think that is one thing that I've learned really from this case study. From the two case studies, really, is it's important to help people get into habits that they can follow themselves. It's no good just saying this is the ideal, go and do it. You've got to help people go through a process of getting there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've all got our strengths and weaknesses, you know, and it's been good to have it all kind of tailored to me, because, you know, as you say, David, it's difficult just doing, you know, everything perfectly. It's not easy to do that. Everyone's got different demands and stuff, and it's really just about doing the best you can do and about setting yourself realistic targets when it comes to all of these things, you know, fitness, nutrition, nets, all of this kind of thing. You know, if you've got 3 times a week to practice in the nets, you know, then great, you know, time is not a problem for you. If you've only got an hour, you need to focus on the things which are going to get you, which are going to make the biggest difference to your game overall. And part of that involves knowing yourself, I guess.
Well, on that note, I think we can leave it there, because the sun's come out from behind a cloud again. Ealing are looking like they're going to stroll to victory, so we're going to watch the rest of this game. So we're going to leave you here. Remember that you can subscribe to the programme, to the My Cricket Coach show, through iTunes. If you do a search for My Cricket Coach, you'll be able to find us. You can also email any questions. If you've got any questions for Naz or for myself or anyone in that area, then you can email mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. That's mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. And you can also get us on Twitter and twitter.com/mycoach. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time.
Thanks, everyone.